You think the biggest threat to a casino is a card counter or a cheat team with a glint in their eye? Please. Those guys are amateurs. They're trying to take money. The real pros, they're trying to lose it. Or at least, they don't care if they do as long as the paper trail looks clean. I've spent 20 years on floors from the Black Sea to the cruise lines, and I've seen millions wash through the cage like it was nothing. Money laundering isn't a Scorsese scene. It's a daily reality. And if you're working the floor, whether you're pitching cards, running the pit, or watching the monitors in the sky, you are the first line of defense. If you miss it, you're not just risking a fine, you're risking the license. Let's talk about how the wash works and what you need to see before the regulators do. The mechanism, why casinos? First, you have to understand the logic. Dirty money is bulky and dangerous. It comes from drugs, trafficking, illegal arms. It has no history. You can't put $1 million in cash into a bank account without the tax man asking where you got it. A casino offers a unique service. It converts cash into chips and then back into cash or a check. The goal of the launderer is placement, layering, and integration. Placement, getting the dirty cash into the system. This is the buy-in at the table or the cage. Layering, distancing the money from its source. This is the play or the appearance of play. Integration, getting the money back into the economy as clean funds. This is the cash out, ideally with a casino check or a wire transfer that looks like winnings. The classic move is simple. Walk in with $50,000 in small bills, buy chips, play a few hands of baccarat, losing maybe $2,000, the cost of doing business, and then cash out the remaining $48,000. Now you have a receipt. That money is gambling turnover. But the methods have evolved. They use Smurfs, runners, to keep transactions under the reporting threshold, structuring. They play opposite sides of roulette to wash the chips with minimal loss. They buy chips, walk out, and use them as underground currency. If you're on the floor, you need to know what this looks like in real time. The front line, dealers and inspectors. Dealers, you are the ones touching the money. You see the hands, the anxiety, the weird betting patterns. You are the sensors. But you're busy pushing the pace, so what are you actually looking for? The minimal play artist. This is the most common red flag. A player buys in for maximum, say, $10,000. They play three hands of blackjack at the table minimum, or they sit at roulette and play even money bets for 10 minutes. Then they color up. The tell. They aren't interested in the game, they aren't sweating the cards. They treat the buy-in like a deposit and the color up like a withdrawal. Dealer action, loud and clear vocalization, coloring up 10,000. Make sure the pit boss hears the tone. You don't just announce the amount, you announce the context with your eyes. The bill stuffers. Watch how they handle the cash. Gamblers respect money, or they are desperate for it. Launderers treat it like a commodity. The tell, damp, smelly, or gritty bills. Rubber bands that look old. Or, conversely, stacks of bills glued together because they're fresh off a printer. Dealer action. If you're dropping the cash and the paddle is jamming because the bills are warped, or the bill validator keeps rejecting them, signal the floor. Chip walking. A player buys in for $5,000 at your table, plays a bit, leaves with the chips. Later, you see them at another table, buying in for another $5,000. They aren't cashing out, they are hoarding chips. They might be selling those chips to a third party in the bathroom, who then cashes them out as winnings. The middle management, pit bosses, and floor managers. Pit bosses, you are the filter. The dealers feed you info, but you see the flow. Your job is rating the players. If your rating card doesn't match the cash out, you have a problem. Structuring the smurfing game. In most jurisdictions, there's a threshold, often $10,000 or 10,000 euros per 15,000 euros, where a currency transaction report or source of wealth check kicks in. Launderers know this. They will buy in for $9,000 or $9,500. The tell, a player asks, how much have I bought in for? Or explicitly tries to stay just under the radar. Or you see a group of four people, clearly together, each buying in for $3,000 at different tables. That's $12,000 total, split up to avoid the paperwork. Pit boss action. Aggregate the play. If they are together, treat them as one entity. Call the cage. Tell them. Group play on pit 4, total buy in approaching threshold. Force the ID check. the safe better. I saw this a lot in Malta. Two players at a baccarat table. One bets $5,000 on banker, the other bets $5,000 on player. The logic, one wins, one loses. The house takes a small commission on banker, or it's a push on tie. They lose almost nothing, but they have churned $10,000 worth of action. They can now cash out clean chips. Pip boss action. This is strictly prohibited in many houses as offsetting betting. Stop the game. Inform them that one player cannot hedge the other's bet. If they persist, back them off. Refusing the card. A high roller who refuses to be rated. A player dropping $20,000 who says, no, I don't want comps. The tell. Real gamblers want the free room, the steak dinner, the ego stroke. A player who refuses to give their name while dropping a brick of cash is trying to stay off the grid. Pit boss action. Call surveillance immediately. Get a facial shot. The eye in the sky. Surveillance and compliance. This is where the real work happens. You aren't distracted by the noise of the floor. You can see the patterns that span days or shifts. The walkthrough. A player enters, goes to the cage, changes small bills for large bills, or changes foreign currency, then leaves without playing. Or they buy chips at a table, wander around for an hour, and go to the cage to cash out. Surveillance action. Track the time on device. If a player has $50,000 in transactions but only 10 minutes of playtime, flag it. That ratio is the smoking gun. The chip handoff. Player A buys the chips. They meet player B in a corridor, the restroom, or at the bar, and pass the chips over. Player B goes to the cage to cash out. The logic. Player A is the criminal. Player B has a clean record. Surveillance action. Track the chips, not just the faces. If the person cashing out $20,000 didn't buy in or win it at a table, where did they get it? If you can't trace the provenance of the chips, the cage shouldn't pay out. Taito manipulation, slots. It's not just tables. People feed dirty cash into slot machines, spin once, and hit cash out. They get a Tito voucher and take it to a redemption kiosk. The tell. High volume of bills into the validator, near zero playtime, immediate cash out. Surveillance action. Set up alerts on your slot management system for minimal play cashouts over a certain amount. If machine 402 just accepted $2,000 and printed a ticket for $1, 992 minutes later, zoom in. The manager's burden, culture over compliance. To the casino managers reading this, AML is a pain. It slows down the game, it annoys the high rollers, it feels like you're doing the police's job for them. But here is the reality. Complicity is expensive. If you foster a culture where pit bosses are afraid to call out a big player because they're afraid you will come down on them for slowing down the drop, you are already compromised. The launderers talk. They know which casinos are soft. If you become the soft target, you will be flooded with dirty money. You need to empower your staff to say no. No, we need ID for that. No, we can't cash that check without play history. No, you can't bet opposite sides. The best defense against money laundering isn't software. It's a dealer who feels safe enough to look a pit boss in the eye and say something is wrong with this player. Keep the game clean, keep the license safe, and let the criminals find another laundromat.